Hello and welcome to In The Loop. I'm Dalton, I'm joined with Ethan. We're both full-time resellers and each week we'll take you on an exciting journey through thrift stores, flea markets, and online marketplaces, sharing our expert tips, tricks, and experiences in a thrilling game of reselling. Now let's get into the podcast. Vamos, Ethan said vamos. Apparently that is Spanish for go. Welcome welcome to the first ever episode of In the Loop with the one and only Ethan, the college reseller over there. What's up, buddy?
What's up? I'm excited. This is gonna be fun. We've talked about it for what, 3 or 4 months now, and now it's actually happening. So let's do it.
I know, it's crazy. I literally told Ethan probably 3 months ago. I was like, hey, if you want to do a weekly podcast, I'm down. And it took until now to make it happen, but I am I'm fired up. I could not be more excited. You guys are witnessing the first episode of the number one reselling podcast on the market right now. Not taking shots at anybody. We're just you know, setting the groundwork. That's the plan.
Setting the standards, because you have to set them high, because if you set them low, then we're not going to achieve anything. And you want to have a little bit of tiny bit of competition, right? That's what 100%. Reselling is about.
100%. Friendly competition is what it's about. As long as we make one podcast every like 3 months, I think we're already doing better than the Triple Thrift podcast.
Yeah, as long as everybody shows up, me being me and you, we show up, we're doing better than that.
Yeah, hopefully just a two-person podcast is going to be easier to put together than they were doing with three people. But anyway, enough taking shots at these other podcasts. We love you guys. I'm sure you guys are listening. We'd love to see some more of the Triple Thrift podcast, but for now, In The Loop is putting its foot down on the reselling podcast arena. To get started on the first episode, you know, we're getting that first episode cliche out of the way. We're just going to talk about us. We're going to let you guys hopefully start building a relationship with our hosts, me and Ethan. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard anything from either one of us. Hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what Ethan does, exactly what I do. Spoiler alert, we're both full-time shoe resellers. We want to talk about how we got into that, what that looks like, what our day-to-day is. And I think Ethan said that he's going to start kick us off by interviewing me, or did you want me to interview you?
I can interview you. That works. I think the biggest thing is just like knowing that we are completely different people, but we do the exact same thing. Like Dalton 100%. And I's philosophies are very similar, but we also do very different things in our business and we have different hobbies, which makes this podcast perfect, because whenever I watch podcasts, I hate when there's two similar people in the room, because they just, there's no like connection or anything. It's just kind of like a straight street of like, oh, it's so great that we're so similar kind of thing, and there's no like edginess between the two. So Dalton and I have a little bit of edginess when it comes to thrifting and stuff like that, so it'll be a fun podcast. But yeah, I guess I can start it off with a bunch of questions that I think that I've been wanting to ask Dalton for a long time. That while we were thrifting and while we've been hanging out, that will help everybody understand Dalton a little bit better. It's not just the generic, like, who are you, like that kind of stuff. I mean, we can love do it. An intro, but
sure.
I think there's some little nitty gritty questions that a lot of people want to know. So
love it.
First one is, we'll just start off with just intro you and when you got started with all of this and why you got started. So who, when, why?
Perfect. I've told this one before, so this is the easy question. You make it sound like you've got some hard ones coming up. Hopefully this is the first softball for me. All right. So for those of you guys that don't know me, Dalton, I go by Dealing with Dalton on YouTube, Instagram. If you follow me over there, you've probably heard the spiel. I grew up in a very small town in Kansas, and you know, hated it. Who likes living in Kansas? If you live in Kansas right now, first off, I'm sorry. Second off, I apologize if you do like it. It just wasn't for me, you know? I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. If you would have asked me in high school, if I saw myself selling used shoes on the internet, I would have called you crazy, but here we are. After high school, didn't really have any college plans. Really? Unlike the college reseller over here, I kind of ruled that username out from the get. didn't go to college, but I did con a couple of my best friends from Kansas to move to Orlando, Florida with me. Shout out Zach, shout out Matt. We got down here, still no idea what I was going to do in my life. They unfortunately lasted about 3 months and they got homesick and they left, ditched me here in Florida. It's all love. I understand it. I get it. But it was a rough few years, you know, just plop me into a city. Now I've got rent to take care of and, no roommates. So when I moved down here, I got into like sales jobs and I hated that. I hated the door to door thing. And then I just made my way back into the restaurant industry. I didn't really touch on that yet. My parents in Kansas still, own a restaurant and that's what I grew up in. I've worked every single aspect of a restaurant. And then after giving up on the sales dream, I just kind of fell back into what was comfortable, and what was comfortable was the restaurant, was serving, was bartending, was hosting. I did just about everything, but mainly serving and bartending. And I did that for a while, got a little comfortable. Fast forward a few years, I switched over to a job at Rose and Shingle Creek. I was a server in one of their restaurants, and luckily enough, met up with one of my now best friends, Carlos. And one day, I remember it like it was yesterday, walking into the side station, and Carlos was about, well, we were both about off, and he said something about, when he got off work, he was going to go to Ross to flip some football cleats. And I heard that and I was like, what? Like, no, you're going to put them on and do a backflip? Like, what are you talking about? But no, he meant to go find some cleats that he can buy at a low enough price, because, at this time, this was like 2017. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2018. You could find football cleats for like $1.50 at Ross. They were always clearanced all the way down. And that was Carlos's plan. We were going to go find those and we were going to flip them online, for some profit. Ross didn't really work out. We ended up making our way into the garage sale scene. I think we stumbled across Rally Roots on YouTube. And we started hitting the garage sale every weekend. We changed our availability at work. We're like, listen, we're not working Saturday mornings. I don't think they okayed it, but we tried. We're not working Friday, Saturday, Sunday mornings. We got a garage sale. And, so we started hitting garage sales. Me and Carlos were doing this together. And it became all that I cared about. And I think it was all that Carlos cared about at the time too. I remember one day, the day that things just completely shifted, I was at a garage sale. It was like noon, and I do get a text from one of our coworkers, and he's like, hey bro, are you okay? I was so confused, because this is not like, we were buddies, but we weren't like, he wasn't someone that's just going to text me out of the blue and be like, hey dude, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah dude, what's up? And he's like, you were supposed to be at work at 10:45. I was like, oh, okay. Well, then I guess I'll be there in about an hour. I'm currently at a garage sale. So I ended up going back, and that was just like the slow decline of my, the employee inside of me. Me and Carlos were making some good money, not great money, but we were making good money. And, fast forward probably like 3 months from then, as I'm sure you can imagine, got fired from the job. And, after that, I was like, you know, maybe we're making some good money. Me and Carlos decided to like split up, you know, we're not reselling together. We can do it separately. And I'm like, I'm just going to do this full time. I'm going to resell full time at this time. Just barely got into reselling at thrift stores. It was still mainly garage sales, just sprinkled in on the thrift stores. And, just because back then you get stuff for so cheap at garage sales. I'm sure you can still, but back then it was just, it was a dollar here, a dollar there, low cost of goods, making decent money. Going to try to do it full time. And then this is the first time in my entire life that, I had to pay my bills and I had to buy inventory on the same income. And so very quickly, within 3 months, ran out of money, didn't quite give up on the dream, right? I didn't just say, you know what, I'm just going to get a full-time job. I went and got a part-time job. So that's the first nugget that anybody's listening, you can take out of this. Maybe get a part-time job to really dial in on the reselling, because that's what worked for me. Got a part-time job, worked like 16 to 20 hours a week at Bahama Breeze on International Drive in Orlando. As a server, you know, you're making like $20 to $30 an hour. It's amazing. So working those little hours, I was still making decent money and really dialed in what was going wrong with my reselling. And I was just looking at my spreadsheets because I was an intense spreadsheet guy back then. And I was like, shoes are doing so much better than everything else. At this time, I was like kind of seasoned at the thrift store, and a lot of the stuff I was picking up was shoes, and shoes were selling quicker. I could get shoes more than anything else. And I've like, why don't I just like focus on shoes? I wasn't quite in the mindset of let me cut everything else out, but I'm going to focus on shoes. And in that, I boiled it down to basically just doing shoes after like battling my head back and forth. Cause you know how it is. Like if you just go to the shoes, you're probably leaving a bunch of other profitable stuff at the thrift store. But I'm sure we'll talk about this in another podcast, the benefits of really getting into just shoes. So I won't go too in depth on that right now. But through that, I'm like, okay, if I can just pick up 100 pairs of shoes this week and, or I could get it down to a science. Like I'm picking up shoes for an average of $7 per pair. And after shipping and fees, I'm selling them for $25 per pair. It just became a science. Like then I knew exactly how many I needed to pick up every week and how many I needed to sell every week. And I got my budget straightened out. And I was like, if I sell this many, I can put this much money aside to pay my bills and then this much money aside to buy inventory. And then everything's lined up. My bills are getting paid. I have this much set aside to purchase enough inventory to last me another week. And it started feeling like a business. And then here we are 3 years later and I'm still doing that. Just shoes, just reselling full time. I just got a new apartment here. This is the first time that my girlfriend Carly is also a reseller. We got approved for an apartment. I just feel like that's crazy. That's it. That's where we're at now.
I feel like that journey of like going from like being in a business to having your own business is like the best thing in the world.
100%.
I love that like shift of like, oh, I was fine with being the restaurant and then I hated being an employee, but I had to do part-time and now I can do full-time because I actually grew up and wasn't like, oh, like I can just do full-time and just live paycheck to paycheck. Like sometimes you have to substitute some stuff in order to like get to where your dream is and then you can go full-time. A lot of people 100%. Do that jump of like, oh, I can match it like immediately right away, and you just some people can, some people can't.
Right,
so that's awesome hearing that side of the story. I've heard that story a couple times, but it's good for everybody else on the podcast here. Next question is,
lay it on me.
Why shoes over clothes? Because a lot of people, when they first start the full time, when they start doing like garage sales, they pick up everything because all of the big YouTubers, all of everybody picks up everything.
Yep.
But then that usually shifts to clothes and it looks like you've done a bypass on that. And I'm sure that there was clothes in there somewhere, but why instead of clothing, like a lot of full time resellers go for, why shoes instead of clothing?
There was some clothes in there early on, but really not very much. Like I'm talking like I'd find a Walt Disney World bomber jacket at a garage sale and I'd sell that. And I'd find some like super bolo clothing, but I'd never got into clothes. Thinking about it, like, I don't know the word I'm looking for here, but like if I was going to tell somebody to build the perfect reselling business, my mind honestly goes straight to clothes because clothes makes sense. Like if taking your personal, enjoyment out, like if you're just like a robot, like if you were training a robot to build a perfect reselling business, clothes is the move. Like there are so many clothes out there and there's so much less I mean, there's probably an equal amount of competition, but there's just so much more clothes to go around. It's crazy. So once you learn that clothing niche, like it's game over, but I'm not a robot and I can't stand scrolling through racks of clothes. I can't stand going to the Goodwill bins and digging through clothes. It's not in me. I hate Carly's got one right here. This thing, if you're watching the video, I got a ruler. What is this called? A yardstick in my hand. The measuring every single angle, all the buyers are like, can you measure pit to pit? Can you measure the hint? Like, I don't know. No. With shoes, everyone knows their shoe size. Like at least most people do. You'd be surprised. But like, let's be honest. You do the same thing as me. Our return rate's not that big. We don't have a lot of returns. Most people know their shoe size. Yeah. And there's nothing to measure on. Like, sometimes you'll get that guy that messages you and he's like, hey, can you measure the width and can you measure the length? I just want to make sure these fit. And it's just like with shoes, to that person, you can just be like, no, sorry. I'll just wait for somebody that knows their shoe size. Right. And so like, shoes are a little cooler in my opinion. Like I enjoy shoes a little, like I can like enjoy the selling and like finding and the treasure hunt aspect of finding shoes. Whereas with clothes, it's just like, it's all the same stuff. I know some people probably think that about shoes, and I know shoes, you got to clean more than you got to clean clothes. Like, I know there's pros and cons, but like, I just, the sourcing specifically of clothing, it's not for me.
Yeah. I mean, we see people, especially when I'm thrifting here in my area, there's clothing resellers like crazy and they'll stack their carts like all the way up here. And I think about it where my cart's to the top, but it's not overflowing. And I always think about when clothes, I'm like, you have to go through all of that and steam it and then measure it and then list it. And that just doesn't seem fun to me. But like you said, because you were building a business, it was just interesting to hear your reason why of not going clothing instead of shoes, because clothing is the business model of a lot of the big resellers that aren't maybe on YouTube, but they're the people that do really well on eBay or on other platforms. And so that was just the fun question. The nitty gritty question is, why do you continue to do what you do instead of, because like you've said, you like to branch off into your own other businesses. Like, you've got your social medias, you've got your other things. Why are you still doing what you're doing? Or do you have a plan to move on from what you're doing very soon?
That's a good question. Cause I mean, you know me and you know why you're asking this question. Like, it's hard for me to stay focused on anything. Sure. Like, shoes are getting repetitive. I've been doing it for a while now, and it's not as exciting as it used to be, but I still like it. To answer bluntly, I don't see myself stopping reselling shoes anytime soon. Sprinkling in other side hustles, other businesses, of course. Like, I started posting on social media probably like, I don't know, 2 years ago. I started taking it seriously at the beginning of last year, and that's become a pretty substantial income source, and I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure something else will come along that, you know, it's fun. I'll enjoy it. But I mean, like, I definitely believe in is Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule. I don't know if that's the word for it.
The 80-20 rule. You can just call it.
I know. I'm just trying to like show off my brain here, but it's not working. Anyway, I like the 80-20 rule. Like, if you're going to branch off into something else, like, you need the 80%, and then you can spend the 20% doing other things. And until a 20% is enjoyable and profitable enough for me, it's going to stay the 20%, and reselling shoes is going to stay the 80%. But like, 100%, I'm always thinking of like new ways to make money, new ways to further my social media, different ways to branch out into like new channels, new this, new that. It's just how my brain works. And sure, like, yes, I will spend a lot of time doing something else, but the 80% is still, and for the foreseeable future, going to be reselling shoes.
Yeah. And I think the reason why I asked it, and you know the reason why I asked it, is like you said, you don't love to stick to one thing for very long.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting the fact that for 3 years, or I mean, technically five, if we're counting 2018, of you reselling in general, like, I haven't even reselled for over a year and a half now. So it's just kind of interesting to see your progression. Cause I know that there's people that have been reselling for 20 plus years and they love it.
Yeah.
But I know that you don't like to stick to things for very long. So that was just a little nitpick question.
The 20 year reseller scares me, right? Like, it works for them. But to me, in my eyes, like, if I'm, like, I don't see myself doing this in 20 years. I can see myself doing this in 5 years, 10 years, maybe, but I don't know. When I think of people that go like the corporate route, like they go to college and they get a job and they climb the corporate ladder, it's like, they're doing the same thing their whole life. Yeah. And that, I don't know, dude. I just like thinking back on to like when I worked like at restaurants, or I had jobs, like when I got into it, like day one, week one, month one, I'm pumped. I'm like, I'm going to be the best employee they got. I'm going to be the best bartender they got. I'm going to be the best server they got. And then like after that first month, after that high wears off, it's just like, I'm ready to check out. Like, if I didn't have bills to pay, I wouldn't be here.
I don't care.
Exactly. And that's how my mind works.
You go through that stage of like, especially the, like, of course, for me being new to the full-time scene as of August, so it's almost at a year now, which is crazy. I feel like that there's been a lot of highs even in this year of like, I love this. I love the fact that I don't have to go to a job. I love the fact that I moved to a new place and I have all of these new things. But it's also the fact of like, all of my friends just graduated this year and they, because I graduated a year early, they're all getting new jobs and they're all showing off like, oh, I'm getting hired by, like, one of my friends got hired by Google. Like, it's a crazy hire, but like, it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, I would never see myself living in a corporate ladder ever. Exactly. And I went to school to go to do the things. Right. And I just find it interesting of just like looking at different people. And obviously we will have a ton of different and more interesting people than me in my 1 year journey. We'll have a lot of people that are just like 20 year veterans or 10 years veterans of reselling that like will have a different perspective than I do. Because my perspective is I love this and I can see myself doing this for 5-10 years. I would love to do something else. I don't want to do this for 20 years probably, but I can see myself being very content and happy to not work for anybody for a very long time because I love this side of it where it's like, I can go do what I want today. I stopped my work at 8 o'clock and I had all my work done and move on. Yeah. So that's
I was just gonna say, I really think that anybody that is entrepreneurial at all, even if that looks like just being an eBay reseller, is going to relate to this. I mean, you watch like with the rise of like content creators and like entrepreneurs being like in your public eye all the time, you can see the evolution of people. Like, I know Mr. Beast is kind of like the cliche to look at when it comes to this kind of stuff, but like it's true. Like, he started by making Minecraft videos and now he's doing all this crazy stuff. There's like people like us are always evolving, and like you don't want to stay doing the same thing. Like, it would be crazy to see Mr. Beast still making Minecraft videos, right? Yeah. Like, he'd be nowhere near where he's at today if he just stayed there. It's always an evolution. It's always what's next. How are we going to evolve this into the next business? That's how it is.
All right. I got three more questions.
This blame
one
on me.
Is a quick one.
Okay.
What is your favorite find of all time? And I know this is primarily an audio podcast, but what is your favorite find of all time? And what is your biggest regret of not picking up of all time?
I know this is an audio podcast, but like, you're saying that like I have the shoes right in front of me. Well, am I going to show the people watching?
No, I'm just saying more of the like expression of the regret and facial sadness of you missing out on a pair.
Yeah. So my biggest regret, I've got a couple. I wouldn't even call them big regrets because I learned about them. Like, now I know the brands. You recently sold one of them, David Eden.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good dress shoe brand. I had no idea. I was at the flea market probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, whenever, I don't know. And I'm at this table and it's one of the super cheap vendors that only has like 10 pairs of shoes on their table and they're all like $5.
Yep.
And there was a box of brand new, like there was a brand new in the box pair of David Eden shoes. I opened the box and I looked at them and they were super colorful and vibrant. And those kind of shoes that you see at the thrift store that are like usually very cheap and just like plasticky and just like, just ugly shoes. And they looked just like that. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, these are worthless. Nobody's ever going to wear these. And I just screw it, whatever. I'm going to leave them behind. And then I, like later in the day, another person that's local posted them on his story. And I'm like, this dude's bragging about finding these shoes. What did I miss? And then I looked them up. And I don't know what they go. I can't remember what the new in the box goes for nowadays, but like, it was a lot of money.
Yeah, crazy money.
And I left them there. The exact same situation happened with Freebird. I found a pair of Freebird, like strappy heels or whatever. They were nice. They were nice. It was probably a $225 pair of shoes at the time. I was with Drew, so I can't, this isn't all on me. I picked them up at this booth and I was like, I looked at them I did a quick eBay search, and you know how eBay is, like sometimes like the first results that show up are like really cheap, like the cheaper listings. Yeah. And I saw those, and then I went to Solds, and I was like, some of them are selling for a lot of money. I can't find this exact model. I was still, at the time I didn't know what Google Lens was. So I'm trying to find them, and like the comps were kind of all over the place. And I was like, Drew, if you want these, you can get them. But they were $5. They were $5. I asked the guy, they were $5. I'm like, Drew, if you want these, you can get them. And Drew also said no. Drew passed on him. And then the same guy that posted on his story about the David Edens posted that he picked those up. And then like a month later, he posted the sale and it was over $200. And I'm just like,
yeah.
So yeah, those are the two regrets. Another kind of regret. I got so many more regrets. I'm still trying to think of my favorite pair of shoes. But I regret selling a pair of shoes.
Okay.
I hit the Jordan 1 smoke grays on sneakers when they released in my size. And I was like, I'm going to hold on to these. And then like a few months later, I'm like, I'm just going to sell them. And I sold them and I regret it, dude. That's one of my favorite colorways. Like the material was beautiful and I just missed those shoes. I wish I kept them. But I'd say my favorite finds are obviously the most profitable finds. Like me and you, we went thrifting a couple months back and we found some Louboutins. Those are the first pair that I ever found. Sold those for $475. Found some Alden Chukka boots. That was my previous highest sale before the Louboutins. I sold those for $400 plus $50 of international shipping. My favorite find, like personally, was if you watch my YouTube channel, it's like my pinned video. If you're not subscribed, it's called like, I can't believe these were at a thrift store. I found some bread-toed Jordan 1s that were real at a Goodwill for $17. Those sold for $250, I think. I believe $250. Like those were probably the coolest pair of shoes that I ever found at a thrift store for a decent price.
Yep.
But that's it.
Those are some big regrets. I sold 3 David Edens in the last month, and sheesh. I remember telling you for the first time that I found it, and I think you told me that story, and I was like, I can't believe it, because all of them have sold within a day, and
oh, yeah.
They grow so fast, and they're such good value. So
yeah, I had no idea what they were.
It's been a year and a half, so now you pick up Freebird and David Eden every time, but I agree that regrets can also lead to the biggest learning curve. Because if you don't find them, you can't learn from them. So
yeah, and if you actually feel that regret, that remembering that regret is going to stick with you, and you're not going to forget that brand.
I forget what the word is, but like that sense of neuron like hit of regret like is actually stronger than you studying something.
Yes.
So. Going back to my college days, there was a lot of regrets on tests, but I actually remembered the stuff that I missed on the test because I regretted not putting them down on paper. Okay. The last question, then I think you can move on to me, is what is, I know that there's a potential new series coming on your channel. What is your dream shoe of all time to have in your collection?
Yeah. So my dream shoe at the moment, you can see the toddler version right there. If you're watching the video, they are Jordan 1 High Origin Stories, the original Spider-Man collaboration. I don't love the one that just came out. They made the Across the Spider-Verse that just came out. I don't love it. I do like it. I do want it in my collection. Even hinted at the series. I've hinted at it in videos. I have a video coming out tomorrow, and then that is the next video that I'm filming because the first... basically, I'm just trying to build up a sneaker budget and start a sneaker collection. And the first one that I'm going to check off my list is that Origin Story Jordan 1. I've sold most of the shoes from the haul that I filmed. So I've got a nice budget. So the first episode is going to be coming out probably next week. Nice. I'm super excited for that. I'd have to do some thinking because I don't know that is like the number one shoe that I really, really want. There's also the not for resale Jordan 1s. That say not for resale on them. They say crease me on the toes. Like I like those. Yeah. I love the Jordan 1 silhouette. I know they're going out of style. The dunks are kind of in now. I just don't like the dunks as much as I like the Jordan 1 silhouette, but, I don't know. I'd have to do some digging because like long-term, I want in that series, I want to buy a pair of shoes that's like $10,000. Like, I want to buy something ridiculous.
You can have the
obviously that's not going to come anytime soon, but like, for now, the Grail shoe is just the origin stories.
Just the origin stories. I mean, that's not a bad Grail shoe at all. I can't even think of a shoe. I'm not a sneakerhead at all. Like, I think the most expensive pair of shoes I ever bought was a pair of cleats when I played soccer. So I think I have a Grail shoe at all time.
Yeah.
But
is that it?
Yeah, I think that there will be other questions, but I think those are the main ones that I have now. I'm sure we'll ask questions in between and all around, but I think for now, you have the solid ones and then a couple little fun mini ones as well.
Sure. So that means we're cutting off my microphone and we're switching on over to Ethan over here.
Uh-oh.
Buckle up. For those of you guys who don't know, Ethan is on mainly Instagram. He's got a YouTube channel, but he hasn't posted anything. Nope. This guy's not much of a social media guy, but he's posted some pretty helpful content over on Instagram. So if you want to follow him on Instagram, it's at the college reseller, correct? Is there any periods in there?
It's the dot college reseller because somebody from 2004 has the college reseller for some reason. So.
What a clown. So the dot college reseller on Instagram. First off, go follow him. Second off, Ethan.
Yep.
Let me know. Let the people know your origin story. See what I did there? Yeah. Little tie-in. Let me know who you are, what you do, how you got into reselling. Just I don't want the Cliff Notes version. I want the whole story laid on me.
So when you would have started, so you said 2018, right?
Yeah, something like
that. I would have been 17 years old. So I would have been in high school. So I was playing college. Well, my dream was to play professional soccer. And then it kind of got diminished down because I realized that that's kind of a ridiculous goal. And I was probably not going to make it with a bunch of whole things that happened. And so my then goal was to play college soccer. I truthfully was not as persistent with it as I probably should have been. I got some good offers from some teams. I ended up walking on at Anderson University, which is my alma mater. And I loved it. I didn't think that I was going to do anything else other than get a marketing degree and play soccer. I didn't know what soccer was going to lead for me. The first year that I walked on, I played College Charleston, which is where I was from. So it was like a homecoming for me, basically. And all of my friends and all of my teammates from high school were there, and it was super awesome. I got to play there and then played another team that was from Georgia at Anderson. And then the next week, we were going to play Atlanta United 2. So the second team for the MLS team, which was a huge deal for all of us. I don't know how much game time I would have gotten. I have no idea because COVID hit. And COVID hit hard. And so it was the day that we were supposed to travel when it hit. And so we all got called home. And I didn't know what to do with myself for 4 months, 6 months. So as the classic, I think I would have been 19 at that time, sitting on TikTok scrolling for hours during COVID, for hours and hours and hours. And I came across Carrie, or American Arbitrage, as many people do on TikTok, as he is him and Matt are the big guys on TikTok when it comes to reselling. And I was so fascinated by the fact that they went into thrift stores and found money, because I don't think I've ever stepped into a Goodwill before then. That's not to say that I was a snob and only bought expensive things, but just I don't think I ever went into a thrift store before that. And so our thrift stores opened up in like June, I think. And I was just like, I'm just going to walk into Goodwill and see what it was. And that was the time where you had to wear like gloves and a mask and everything everywhere. And I walked in and I was like, this is going to be the hardest thing ever. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I would just sit in the middle of the thing and just scroll through his content. Just be like, oh, he goes through clothes. And I just walk into the clothes. Be like, okay, I'm going to look for brands that I know. I knew nothing. So I think I walked out of there with like a toy. I think I walked out of there. I think that the first thing I ever walked out was a board game. It was a board game that I had played when I was little, and it went for like $25 on eBay, and I think I paid it like $2, something like that. I don't know. But I started a TikTok because I was like, oh, I'm going to be cool during COVID. Worst idea ever. My video, please, please, please don't go look them up on TikTok. They're still there, I think. They're so bad. And I would go through all of, so I went through the progression of doing everything. And then my room during COVID while I was home with my parents was full of junk. Like, I didn't have anywhere to step because I didn't have any storage because it was COVID and we couldn't go to storage unit and put anything anywhere. So that's how it started, was buying everything. And then probably what would have been January of last year, I came across a Dealing with Dalton video on YouTube for the first time, after watching a couple of other people. And he was like, oh, you can do shoes and something, whatever Dalton says. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And he's not like old telling me this. Like, he's a younger guy. Sorry to everybody that I just offended by saying that. But he's younger and he's doing this. I think I want to try shoes. And so I was trying shoes off and on while I was still playing soccer. And then I quit soccer. And then was doing shoes during school. And I think you and I did a podcast at some point, or like a live video. I don't know where that would have been.
That would have been on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, but I don't know where I was at that point.
Mm.
But that was like the coolest thing ever for me. Was I had built up kind of an Instagram, kind of a TikTok, but it was like, all these, like, I kept getting on podcasts as the college reseller, and everybody was all amazed about the fact that I was in college doing this. And I just thought it was normal. I was just like, I need to have money in college. Like,
right.
I'm just going to try it. So that was my guide. And then as soon as May hit last year, so a year ago, I graduated a year early. And then I got married in July. I moved down to Florida. And then I started doing full time, and here we are. There's the non-Cliff Notes version that everybody hears.
So here we are. That's it.
I think that's it. I mean,
that's it. We're here,
and I love it. So
cool. All right, I got a few questions for you. You ready?
Uh-oh. Okay.
So one of the areas of reselling, we're just going to jump right into the reselling questions. Okay. One of the areas of reselling that I have, I wish I was more versed in, was soccer cleats. They sell for a lot of money. Do you think that soccer has helped you in reselling, like being a college athlete?
I think me also being obsessed with soccer and golf has also helped.
Yeah.
I know majority wise what's the new models, what the old models that are good are, because I probably wore them. Yeah. Soccer cleats for me are like the most untapped, and I hate to be like, oh, let's talk about it on a podcast, because they're the most untapped potential when it comes to picking them up, because I've sold cleats for $60 in a day. I've sold them for $300 in a week. Like, if you get the right ones, they're so good. There's also a lot of stinkers, like a lot of stinkers. And so you, like, me knowing what it was popular when I was playing and what's popular now is really helpful. And it's also like, it's essentially like going to Disney and market researching, looking at people's feet and what they're wearing now. I just do it by watching soccer across England, Italy, Germany, Spain, France, knowing all of those markets, because those are the big ones that get televised. Then all of the kids want to be those players and have that, like, oh, I want to have the Sambas that they're wearing from the 2009s. Like, those sell so good right now because everybody wants those old ones. But right now it's like the Mercurials and the Vapor, like the Vapors and stuff like that. There's, I mean, I can go into all of that and I won't, but like, basically you follow an idol, whether it be for Manchester United, whether it be for Real Madrid, like, you will find those cleats. If you ever find them in the thrift store, sometimes doing online arbitrage with that, it's like, my favorite thing. Like, if I could find all soccer cleats and stop selling normal shoes, I would, just because of how much I love that. And golf shoes. If I could do golf shoes and soccer cleats, I would. 100%.
Nice. Keeping it on kind of the soccer topic here.
Yep.
How do you think playing soccer, or do you think playing soccer, especially at the level at which you did, do you think that helped you being your own boss, being entrepreneurial, like this, does the stuff that comes around being an athlete transfer over to running a business?
I think so. I think the biggest thing was, is I played soccer since I was four. So yeah. I kind of grew up being, I also was homeschooled. I don't know if you can tell by my mannerisms or anything, and I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing all homeschool parents everywhere. I was homeschooled for a very long time, and I went public school for the first time my senior year in high school. So I grew up having my own schedule all the time, where I would get my schoolwork done and then I'd be able to go to soccer practice. I'd get everything done. I could be done 2 or 3 months ahead of kids my age going to normal school, but I'd have all that time to play soccer. So I think it also translates from that. And it also translates from, I had my own business in high school of owning a lawn care business. So I owned my own business before I did reselling. So I knew what time management, granted, I wasn't doing it at a huge scale. I was doing like 2 or 3 yards a day during the summer, but like I knew how to manage time. I knew how to manage like sending invoices. I knew how to manage all of that stuff. So when it came to like my business now, the soccer part wasn't honestly the thing. It was really the time management from when I started doing school through college of time management whilst also playing soccer. And then like to now, like now my time management is, I'd say, really good. Like I can take an hour off, but I know that I worked my tail off for 4 hours before then. So
yeah.
I'd say it's a partially soccer, but it's also just my upbringing as well of being homeschooled and also just being really intentional about when it's work time and it's not time to look at other things.
Love that. I want to talk to you about the lawn management business or the lawn care business. I didn't know this about you, or maybe I just forgot about it. So you've been kind of entrepreneurial from the get, huh?
Yeah. It started from my dad. My dad didn't, because I was like 14 and soccer wasn't happening during the summer. I was kind of just sitting there doing nothing. My dad was like, you need to make some money because you need to buy a car when you turn 16. And to be honest, I wasn't very proactive about the lawn thing. I think my first summer I had one yard all summer, but it was like $40 or $50 a week. And for a 14-year-old, that would go pretty far.
Yeah.
Also, when I was 14, this is the embarrassing thing. Me and my two best friends had a trick shot account. We were sponsored by Woboba, the water skipping balls. We did that. So that took up a lot of my time during the summers when I was in high school. But I think closer to when I was getting my car, I really ramped up the business. And my dad kept pushing me and being like, look, you could make a ton of money, especially where we lived. A lot of people just kind of hand you money out of their pockets. We didn't live on the like super nice side of our neighborhood. But like if you went 3 blocks over, it was the places where it was like 4-story houses on the water with huge grasses. And they just hand you $100 bill from their wallet. It was just one of those things where they don't really care how much it was. They just wanted it done.
Right.
I think that's where it kind of started, of just like my ability to talk in front of people. This doesn't sound right because I'm doing a podcast, but I'm really shy, like really shy. Like if you came up to me and talked to me and I don't know you, I'm incredibly shy. But if I know somebody, like, and if I like try and break through the comfort zone, I can kind of create that relationship for the business, kind of create that relationship for doing lawns and stuff like that. It's like getting over that first hurdle of being like 15-year-old me, like, hi, I'd really love to cut your lawn. This is really awkward for me, but maybe you'll give me a job, kind of a thing.
Right.
But getting over that fear has helped me a lot. And my public speaking has gotten a lot better than it was then, which has helped me to do what I do now, because every time I'm in the thrift store, what do you do? What do you have? And I have to come up with this spiel that I've rehearsed for however long.
Love it. So would you say that it was less about with the lawn care company, it was less about you just being entrepreneurial, it was more your dad inching you in a way to make some more money over the summer?
It was that. And it's just the fact that I didn't want to work a job. Like I told him that, like, I didn't want him to drop me off during the summer while I could just be around my friends and just go for an hour, leave for an hour, go make $50 and then come back and hang out with my friends. I enjoyed the fact of that part. I also enjoyed the fact that I wasn't bossed around by anybody. I'm making like $10. Like, okay, I'd go work in the yard in somebody's yard for 2 hours and I'd make $50 to $100 depending on what I did. And that would pay more than all of my friends doing the $7.50 minimum wage jobs for 8 hours a day. Just
nice.
not something I wanted to do, but my dad helped push me to like do it. So my entrepreneurial, like, it was there. It just wasn't kindled.
Gotcha. So with that, what led you into going to college for a marketing degree?
I didn't want to do it. I knew that I wanted to do something business. There's a part of me that wanted to follow my dad's footsteps and do athletic training, and physical therapy and stuff like that. But he joked and told me that I shouldn't do it because it doesn't make a ton of money. And I love sports, and I was like kind of like gutted about the fact that he was like, oh, you shouldn't do that because it doesn't make a ton of money. But yeah, I also really loved business. Like, I really loved it. And the first class that I walked into was a marketing teacher. Because I was ahead on school, I already had a year of school done in college. And so I walked into my first class ever was, well, I had a Bible class, and then my second class was a marketing class. And he like took me, like, he saw that I was a lot younger. This is like no beard, like really baby face college student, and all of these like juniors and seniors in this class. My professor came up to me first day, shook my hand. He was like, hey, I'm Professor So-and-so. It's really nice to meet you. How old are you? And I said, I think I said, no, 19. And my name's Ethan, and I'm really nervous. That was my statement. And he was like, you're going to fit in great here. And he was my favorite professor. He was amazing. And he taught me to love marketing. He taught me to love sales. And he taught me how to like do all of these things that I would have never dreamed of doing. And like from that instant, I was like, yeah, I'm doing marketing. Because I had announced the fact that I was doing business management, as like when you go in for school, you have to announce a degree. I said business management because I had done entrepreneurial stuff. But as soon as I walked into his class, I instantly that day, I went to my advisor. I was like, please change me to marketing. Get me into every marketing class you can. Like, I quit like three classes so I could be in marketing classes. So
nice. Yeah,
that's how I chose.
So where did you want that to lead? Because I'm sure it didn't. I'm sure you didn't think it was going to lead to reselling shoes.
No, I wanted to do sports marketing or marketing research.
Okay.
I love numbers and I love sports. I love basically every sport except for baseball. Everyone can hate me now. I'm sorry.
This is your own podcast.
I know. This is my own podcast now. I love sports a lot, and there's a lot of opportunity pre-COVID that I had seen for a lot of sports marketing jobs because there was a lot opening up. I think I had a dream at some point to work for a big soccer team or a big, like an ESPN or Google or something like that within sports marketing and marketing research in that way. I love the research side of it. I don't like writing papers. So that was my thing of like, if I can just be like an analyst and not have to do the analyst like writing part and be like the the person that does all the research that doesn't have to like push it to the journalists and do it all to that stuff. Like, I do that. That was kind of my dream. And then I found reselling, and then I was like, oh, I don't have to work for anybody. This is great. Yeah. I haven't looked back since. So I had no idea what I was going to do after school. So that was the fun part.
So do you think that your marketing degrees helped with your reselling business?
I think 40 people have asked me that this year.
I think I was one of them, but we got to get it on the podcast.
I know, but
now the next person that asks, you can say, hey, go listen to this podcast episode, skip to timestamp 47 minutes and 30 seconds and you're golden.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest thing was is like people ask me that all the time and I always say yes, but it's because I want it to help, not because it has helped. You can have a degree in anything and it may not help you in what you're doing now. I think the biggest thing for me was is because I spent all that time and because my parents helped me pay for my tuition, I like was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to use marketing within my thing. So in my brain, whenever I think about shoes, I'm like, in a marketing sense, I've done market research. I go to Disney once a month, once every other month. And I'm like, I use Disney as an example because it's the most people you can find in one place.
Right.
And it's the most, I want to say my clientele.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Of the people that can afford to go to Disney will be able to afford to buy those shoes, basically.
Right.
And I enjoy just sitting there and doing market research and just sitting in line and just being like, okay, On Cloud, On Cloud, On Cloud, Hoka, Zero Shoes, like okay, they're wearing Timberlands for some reason and it's 90 degrees. I don't know. But like something like that, like I use it because I want to, not because I have to. It has helped a lot. And my marketing professors have called and asked how I'm doing and how's business and everything, which makes it so much sweeter. But I don't think that it's something that I would have to use, but it's definitely been helpful because I have all of those skills that I got taught for 3 years. So I think it's necessary to go to school for 3 years and become a reseller. No, you don't have to. But I think that it's put me at an edge above a lot of people because I know the other side of it. I know the buyer side of it now, where a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm the seller and I know best kind of a thing. And I'm like, that's what I went to school for, was the marketing research side of it, of what the buyer thinks and what they think is best. So,
yeah, understood. Love it. I've got a couple fun questions for you. We got some serious ones out of the way, and we are in the end. We got about 10 minutes left on this episode, if that. Okay. So let's kick it off with some fun ones.
Let's do it.
The first question that nobody wants to talk about, because I know you weren't an expert on day one. You found Carrie, American Arbitrage, and who was it, Thrifter Sifter on TikTok. You know, I guarantee you walked in those thrift stores and you were losing some money. Did you lose any money? Or how was your beginning reselling? Were you just an expert from the rip?
No. I think that I was very careful with what I bought because I didn't have a lot of money to start out with. So I think the first trip I think I ever bought was like a Star Wars something, because I like Star Wars, and it was like a shoots and ladder game, board game. So I think I started out with like $3 total, and I think I made some money. I've definitely lost money. I can probably tell you that first 6 months, I probably made a profit of like $200 total just in learning. It was not great. I can fully admit to the fact there was a lot of highs, but I also had a lot of returns because I didn't label things right. I don't think that I ever lost like all of my money, but I definitely think that there was a lot of losses, just as there should be. Because I think that if you do everything right, then your mindset becomes, I am right all the time. If you take no losses in the beginning, then you kind of screw yourself over because you're like, oh, I've done everything right. And it could be luck of the draw. You could see something that I've posted. For example, somebody new starting with shoes and they've seen a brand that I've posted. And they're thinking, oh, like I just found this brand. Great. And then they only see the stuff that's good that I post, and they never see the bad stuff. And they're only following what I'm posting. And then they like only get good stuff. Then that one time when they can't find shoes and there's a ton of other shoes, then that's technically a loss. I think that, overall, I'm not in the debt. Not just spending money, just losing money. But I think that first couple, 3 months, I don't think I made much. I think I lost a lot, and I think I also gained a lot too. So
kind of branching off of the same question, do you have any purchases that you've regretted making? Like anything that you've bought that you're like, I shouldn't have bought this?
Every piece of clothing I've ever bought.
retweet.
Yeah. No. I don't think there's anything that I regret buying. I regret buying stuff from the bins that had holes in it, thinking that, oh, it's got a hole in it and it'll sell. I regret paying as much for stuff now because I'm like, oh, like it didn't help with buy cost. It didn't help with whatever. Like I thought it was going to sell for a lot more. It was the wrong model, stuff like that. Like I make those mistakes, not often, but sometimes. I don't think there's anything that I'm like over the like, I regret doing this kind of a thing. So,
yeah. I know this is your half of the podcast, but I got to tell the story. I got to. When me and Carlos were still reselling together, when we first got into like the thrift store side of things, one of the things we tested out was books, you know, because that's the Amazon route, test selling some books, right? So we got this, we were still doing garage sales.
Yep.
And we saw this ad for a garage sale that was $5 for all you can take books.
Oh.
And so me and Carlos had this great idea. We're just like, all right, we need to get there. And we need to just say, we'll take everything. We don't need to scan it. We'll take everything. Oh, I had a, I had a Mazda 6 at the time, and that car was loaded down. Like Carlos was in the passenger seat. He had books in his lap, the back seat floorboard, the back seat. I couldn't see out my rearview window mirror. The trunk was full. We get those back, and when I tell you they were all like Tom Clancy and like Roberts or whoever, they were all just like these. We made money. Don't get me wrong. We made money, but we probably profited $50 off of the most work in the world. And 99% of those books, probably 99.5% of those books, ended up getting donated to Goodwill. Oh, that was a dumb buy.
Poor Mazda car.
Yeah, that poor Mazda. Back to you. I kind of wanted to take your question from me, because I think it's just a fun question to ask, and just like reverse it back to you. Do you have any shoes that you think is your favorite find of all time? And as well, do you have any purchasing regrets? Like you regret not buying something like me? I know we kind of just talked about regrets, but anything that falls under to like my, like in line with how I answered the question.
Yeah.
And your favorite find.
I think my favorite find is actually right back here. This one right here.
Yeah.
These ones are, they're the Kobe something. They're the Kobe Mamba, whatever. I don't remember what they are. They're size 18. They're huge. And they are destroyed. Like they're busted like crazy. But Kobe was my favorite basketball player. I didn't watch basketball religiously. And it's just cool to have something. I don't even know what his size was, but I think that's close. I know he was tall, and I know that he was one of the best basketball players of all time. That right there is one of my best finds. This is my favorite find of all time.
Ethan's walking away from the camera at the moment.
Custom M&M Air Force One that somebody drew, but like the detail on that is incredible. Like,
yeah, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just listening, he's got some Air Force Ones that somebody painted the M&M's logo on the toe and an M&M character on the other toe. And when I tell you it looks professionally done, it looks amazing.
Yeah. So the fun story about that one is I was at a flea market and the guy was desperate to get, he bought storage lockers out and he was desperate to get all of these shoes out. And he kept seeing me walk past with his big bag of IKEA shoes. And he like stopped me. He was like, look, I've got a bunch of shoes. Just take the bag for $5. Don't even look at it. Just trust me, $5. And I trusted him. I think there's better three pairs of Jordan 11s, pair of Jordan 1s, and those were sitting in the bottom. And I have never sold those, and I probably never will. They're my size, so if I wanted to keep them, that's even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I paid $5, and I think I made like $400 or $500 from that bag. My biggest regret, this is going to be hard for everyone listening that knows anything about shoes. I was at the Bins. I don't think I've ever told this story before. I was at the Bins, and it was like probably my first couple times of doing shoes. And there's these pair of red Nikes. I think you probably know where this is going. These pair of red Nikes that had come out, and they were in okay condition. I looked them over. I was just kind of thinking, oh, they're kind of like ugly shoes. They're like, they didn't really like match what I was looking for. At the time I was doing mainly like hiking shoes because it was kind of getting into fall. And I was like, because I didn't have a ton of space, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to leave these behind. Come to find out, they were the Red Octobers.
Ooh.
And someone had seen them and scooped them up and then posted them, and they were pre-owned and they sold, I don't know what pre-owned sold, but they sold for a couple grand.
Oh.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. I didn't know what they were.
Yeah. I get that. Cause that's a little worse than just seeing some David Edens at the flea market, because you'll find more David Edens. You're not going to find more Red Octobers.
So they were in good shape. They weren't like destroyed or anything. They were in good shape, but I just thought they were an ugly pair of Nikes. And I was like, They're probably an older model. They probably won't sell. Didn't look them up, just passed by them. And somebody freaked out after finding them. And yeah,
dang.
That's my biggest regret.
That hurts.
That'd have put me in a different different category of sellers for a while having that. So yeah, that's a big one. It was in the Bins in Charleston, South Carolina. So if anybody knew or was there while that happened, I hope you enjoy them, because
Well, that wraps up our time together today.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got to know a little bit deeper level of me and Ethan. Again, you can find us on Instagram. Ethan is at the.collegereseller and I am at dealingwithdalton. There's not currently an Instagram page for the actual podcast, but if you tag both of us in your stories, we'd love to know that you were listening. Please screenshot this, add it to your stories, tag us. We'll share that to our page. If you have any questions that you want answered in any future podcast episodes, please let me know on Instagram as well. If you could do me a huge favor and leave us a rating on whatever platform you're watching this on, that would help a lot. If you're watching the video form on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button and we'll see you next week. Ethan, you got anything you want to close with?
I think that you guys should be prepared for the most consistent podcast of all time.
We'll see you on the next one.